Putting the scat in eschatology. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
I just love that laugh. When I was younger, I used to listen to The Shadow. Do you remember that radio drama?
Yeah, actually, Kevin? I still listen to it.
Do you?
Yeah.
You have it out there in Marijuanaville?
Yeah, yeah. On iTunes.
On iTunes. Well,
which is also Marijuana.
Yeah, it is. Folks, Trevor, our next guest, will be listening on the phone to that song and rolling his eyes going, oh, Drew, you are such a buffhead. Trevor Jones, folks, that's right, he's a witch, and he's the co-owner of Britain's most famous witchcraft shop, but he's so much more. This past August, I went over to the UK to visit Stonehenge and Iona and Holy Island and Glastonbury, the mecca of paganism, and during my trip, I sat down with this bloke and his darling better half, Liz, and we had a great, great chat. I think, Trevor, you will agree that we could have chewed up a lot more hours at that pub.
I have to say that's exactly the case, Drew. How are you doing?
Good, mate. How are you? Happy Saturday night of Halloween weekend or whatever the heck.
Yeah, it's a hectic one here. We've had a great day in the shop. We had a book launch from a lady by the name of Kit Berry, who's a great fantasy author, later on this afternoon. The shop was full of fairies all day. There's about 400 of them in town for a big fairy ball tonight. And so we've been having a good time.
Okay, Trevor. 400 fairies in town for a fairy ball tonight. I never thought I'd ever hear anyone say that sentence.
Normal for Glastonbury is how I qualify that sentence. We have, the fairies are a niche pagan group. And they literally go around dressed up as fairies with little wings on, and maybe they paint their faces and that kind of thing. But they wear the most exquisite costumes. I have to say they all look absolutely beautiful, and then there's the girls as well. It's been a fun day. It's been an absolute full-on day. Probably the busiest retail day we've had this year, but I think also the busiest day in town for our kind of folk, if you like.
Our kind of folk. Well, I found out that your kind of folk are my kind of folk. So I don't know what that says about either of us. You might want to just disconnect from any relationship here. I've got a book in my hand called Magic Shop, Diary of a Witchcraft Shop by Trevor Jones and Liz Williams. Who's this Liz Williams character?
That is my far better half, who in fact is the real author in the family. Liz, if you Google Liz Williams, you will either come up with Liz Williams, the porn star, or you will come up with Liz Williams, the writer. I live with Liz Williams, the writer.
Oh, bummer.
We have met Liz Williams, the porn star, and she's a lovely girl.
Okay.
Can I Google that now, Drew?
No. No Googling, Tim. No Googling right now.
Let's not take that one too much further.
No.
Liz, we've been together for about 8 or 9 years now, and she has written, I think, getting on to nearly 20 novels and hundreds of short stories. Hmm. And she's currently been included in an anthology which is edited by George R. R. Martin, who I think everybody has heard of again now with the latest TV series. But Liz is my, as you said at the beginning, Liz is my better half, and she's kind of keeps me under control. She's also the financial director, which means I have to bow down.
Yes, we're not worthy. Okay, are you a witch?
Witches call me a druid, but then druids call me a witch. My name is Trevor. I'm a human being. Hello.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I love it.
It's a hard one to pin down. Most pagans do not like to be completely pigeonholed. Yes, I do work with magic. Would I consider myself to be the same kind of witch as all other witches? The answer is certainly no. But it's kind of more complex than it looks on the surface.
But that's your lot. That's your crowd. You guys like to complicate things. You are anti-definition type people.
Hey, right. Okay, so I'd like to discuss the number of different churches in the whole of North America, north and south of that border of yours. Okay, and the minutiae at which point the two brothers actually sit at opposite ends of the sofa, not speaking to each other because they belong to different churches. Okay,
love it, love it. Now you know why I like this guy. Okay, have you ever cast a spell on somebody? You know, I'm going to ask it. Listen, by the way, I had an email correspondence this week with Peter Gilmore. Do you know Peter?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
Peter is the head of the Church of Satan, and he couldn't make it today on our show, but he said he would like to come on soon. And yeah. And one thing he said in his email is, please do your research on me before you interview me, so you do not ask me the typical stupid questions. These are my words, but the typical stupid questions. So I'm saving all my stupid questions for you. Okay.
Well, thank you for that.
All right.
Much appreciated.
There, no worries.
The answer to that is yes. It is what we do. Pretty much the definition. Okay, I'll give you two very, very quick definitions. And people ask me very often what the difference is between a druid and a witch. And my quick definition of that is druids celebrate, witches interfere. This is four words. And you can unpack that all you like, but that's the bottom line. Witches actually want to change either their own reality or somebody else's. Druids actually want to celebrate the year going round, and the return of the sun is probably most important for us.
Okay, so can you... You're going to hate me. You're so going to hate me at the end of this interview.
Yeah.
I'm going to owe you so many beers, it's not going to be funny.
Oh, I'm going to call him in.
Yeah, I know you are. I know. When was the last time you cast a spell on somebody?
It's about a weekly thing. I would say once or twice a week. I am either called on to do it on behalf of other people, or I consider doing it worthwhile doing something for myself. Mostly, the spells that I cast are purely in somebody else's mind. People assume that I'm casting spells against them, so therefore they stay out of my way, and that's really the way I like it. Because I've now told millions of listeners that, so they're not going to be worried about me.
No, they're not worried about you anymore. people have said to me, "Oh, is he? You've got a witch on your show, Drew. That's interesting. Is he a good witch or a bad witch?" And I don't know if they're referring to the Wizard of Oz or other Hollywood type things.
I can bat that one straight back at your listeners there. Pick up a hammer. Now, is a hammer a good thing or a bad thing?
Well,
it's actually who is using it and how it is being used at the time. Magic, I think, is completely neutral. It is just a tool, and it can be used for good or bad. I have to say, I have put spells on people. Does that make me a bad person? No, I don't believe it does, because all of those people I would have taken to the law court if I thought it was necessary.
I'm sorry. There was a bit of disruption in the phone there. You said you would have taken to the law court?
I would have taken, yes. My definition of is it worth doing magically is pretty much, well, if you feel strongly enough about it that you would go to law to get redress, then you can use magic. And I think that's pretty much what it is. And if you like, that's what a witch doctor is. A witch doctor is a lawyer. They'll basically act for both sides.
How often would you say you see results in a casting spell?
Probably the most frequent spell I'm asked to cast is around the area of love relationships. Either can you get my boyfriend back, or can you get rid of my boyfriend, or can you find somebody to love me? So you're dealing with emotions quite often, and you're also dealing probably with people's positive thoughts. But the whole point is, if they've approached me, somebody says, I really want somebody to come and love me, I will do something if I feel it's appropriate, if I feel I can help, and that is usually a psychic thing. I usually have some sort of connection with that person. And I give you one instance. I had somebody came into the shop at random and said, can you do a love spell for a friend of mine? and this was an old friend, and I said, yeah, sure, I can, here you are. And this friend of mine is from North Yorkshire, which is about 300 miles away from where her friend lived. And I didn't hear anything about it for about 3 or 4 months until about 3 or 4 months later. And the lady who, her name is Sue, Sue asked for a spell for her friend. And the friend rang me out of the blue and said, Trevor, you bastard. And I said, who's this? And she said, it's Karen. You cast that spell for me. I'm getting married to Sue's brother. So within 3 months, she'd met Sue's brother and decided to hook up with him. As far as I know, they are still in a fairly successful relationship. So do I believe that it works? Yes. Does it work often? Often enough for me to be confident that most of the results that I... most of the spells that I do actually do come to some sort of positive conclusion. How much of that is coincidence, is your next question. I don't know.
You're a rat. Huh? Are you looking through some spirit guide of my notes or something like that? Trevor Jones.
It's the logical extension of that.
Yes, yes.
I can't answer that. I have to put that one up there. Do I believe it is all coincidental? No, I don't. One particularly powerful spell that I did for somebody who was at the top of the extradition list. Historically, anybody gets to the end of the line, goes through all the court processes, actually generally gets sent away. They were due to be extradited to that wonderful country just south of your border.
Mm-hmm. You mean Mexico?
In my view, unjustifiably, after 22 years had elapsed, but it was a federal crime, so they had no choice. They found her, her crime, so say, was to transport a minor across the state line, which, as most North Americans we know, the American authorities take very, very seriously.
Right, right.
So she basically hauled her infant child out of her husband's clutches, and her husband, being a member of the mafia, eventually tracked her down. And eventually paid off enough of the Las Vegas police to get her put up to the top of the list.
Wow! Wow!
And she was due to be extradited, and I did a piece of work for her. It was a very large piece of work, and it involved an awful lot of people for reasons which I could go into. But it involved a couple of thousand people worldwide because I thought this was complete injustice.
Okay, now this sounds Trevor, hold on a second. You and I have talked about this, and by the way, we're speaking with Trevor Jones. He is a witch and a druid and co-owner, a pagan, and I don't know, whatever. He's a co-owner of Britain's most famous witchcraft shop called The Cat and the Cauldron in Glastonbury, which I visited a month or so ago, and a lovely time with him, witchcraftshop.co.uk. Trevor, you and I chatted about the difference between what Christians do in that situation where you have a friend who's about to be deported. We would pray for that person. We would beseech God to intervene, and you would cast a spell. You would say these are very similar things.
I would, in actual fact, the spell that I cast was exactly what you are talking about. It was a prayer. I asked for the prayers of 2,000 people worldwide.
Yeah.
That was something, because of my network, I can actually do.
Right.
That process is, I think, identical to Christian prayer.
Okay, so here's the thing. When we pray, and I'm actually throwing myself into the Jesus camp there. By the way, that's a horrible movie. Well, it's a good movie, just about horrible stuff, Jesus camp. Jesus people pray, you know, we say, okay, monotheistic belief system. We think there is one God, and we think that our relationship with God is busted by our selfishness, and Jesus came and died so that relationship could be restored. In short, that's kind of what we believe. And so when we pray, that's who we pray to. When you pray, who do you pray to?
Okay, in my own personal case, I am a polytheist. There are many gods in whom I no longer believe. Got you, Tim.
Yeah, you see, he heard you laughing in the background.
Yeah, in my case, I tend to believe in a oneness, in some sort of supreme spirit, if you like, or some sort of spirit that binds all of us together, either in this life or in any life beyond. I don't regard that as being entirely dissimilar to the Christian notion of God, because, hey, it's, you know, I was brought up as a Christian, and although it didn't personally work for me in that sense, I still have all of those reference points.
Right.
So I'm comfortable with that idea, and I was very comfortable with asking people to essentially either do their own spell work, and the spell can be as simple as a prayer with a candle.
Yeah. Right.
And that is, you know, a lot of the work that we do is quite simply light a candle because Auntie Gladys's cat is sick.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. All right, I want to bring someone into the conversation, our co-host Kevin Miller. He is a writer, director, and producer of a movie called Hellbound, and that's screening tonight. We're going to do a Q&A in Oakville here. Look on our website for more details. But Kevin, I want to introduce you to my good mate. You like that, eh, Trevor? You like that?
I do.
Kevin Trevor.
Hey, Trevor. Great to meet you.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Good.
Yeah, it's fascinating sitting, listening to you. And actually, I had a question similar to Drew's, which is, if you do say a prayer, really, who are you praying to? But I would expand that to say, so say you light a candle, to try and affect something somewhere else in the world, what would be the medium through which the energy would travel? And would that be something that could be scientifically verifiable? Because it's interesting, somebody like Richard Dawkins would be very similar to you, who says he's a polytheist, he doesn't believe in any gods, but he probably would call what you're doing a bunch of hooey, the same way he would call Christians praying for people.
To do so, I regard myself as a rationalist in the sense that what I do tends to work. Now, if it tends to work, then I'm going to repeat the exercise. Until it stops working. Now, I will sit and have a philosophical argument with somebody like Richard Dawkins, and he is perfectly entitled to his opinion, although some of his followers are a little stronger than you and I would necessarily want to meet on the street. But
what would you do if he said to you, show me the evidence? Do you have studies you could whip out and show him?
The only evidence I have is anecdotal. And repetition. Now, some of my experiments, some of my spells, some of my prayers have been answered. That isn't. This is what I said earlier on. You know, how much of this is down to coincidence? I don't know. And neither, with the greatest respect, neither does a Christian, and
yep.
Yet a Christian still believes.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that kind of puts Christians and you in the same camp in facing.
Hold on. Did you just insult my guest?
Well, no. I think that we both we believe in things that we can't prove, and at the same time, that doesn't negate the belief. But again, I guess because I've been challenged by Richard Dawkins on the same regard, and so if something like paganism predates science, for instance, I would think it would behoove you to the same way it would behoove Christians to somehow produce something that would at least qualify as evidence for someone like Dawkins.
I think we have a problem. And I will use the word religion. It's dodgy using religion with pagans because I'm not particularly religious. I am spiritual, and I think you will understand the subtle difference of that. It is actually very difficult for us to prove, because what we are believing is not provable, and yet we are answered so often that we refuse to dismiss it as coincidence.
Yeah.
And I think that goes for people who have a belief across the world. I don't, you know, all right, Christianity is obviously our main base of belief. Paganism is growing very rapidly. One of the things that I have difficulty with is actually defining what a pagan is. If you put three pagans in the room, you've got five opinions, you know. And I'm not kidding. It's quite impossible. But then that is actually the same as Christianity when it first formed and exploded out of the Middle East. It took many forms, mainly because communication was so lousy. One of the disadvantages paganism has is that communication these days is so good that within five minutes, an idea or a crackpot theory can be around the world and be taken as gospel, and I will use that phrase, by anybody across the world.
Okay, Trevor, let's see, how do I do... I want to bring this back into sort of sure. earthy type conversation here. So I went over to the Chalice Well.
Yeah.
Which in my understanding is almost a rite of passage for many pagans, or a lot of witches will come to this well, get some of the water, drink it, and feel that it has some healing powers to it. Would that be fair to say?
Okay. I will rewind that one. It is totally non-denominational, so I think anybody can approach that well with the same idea. And
right.
You only have to look at the number of wells across Europe, and indeed across North America,
yep.
The number of holy places that actually cater for more than one denomination.
Okay, so, but I didn't want to pay the money to go into the Chalice Well because I spent it all on beer with you.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, and then so I went around to the side wall on that side yeah. street where the spout comes out, which I saw a lot yeah. of people pulling up and filling up. Yeah. And they say yeah. that this well tastes like blood, and the reason in my mind it tastes like blood is if you've ever lived in the country and tasted iron-laced water,
yeah.
That's what it was, right? Okay,
exactly what it was.
So I tasted the water. And then I spit it out. All right, I was yeah. kind of like Bill Clinton. I didn't inhale. And then I went over. I went across the street to the White Spring or the White Well,
yeah.
and I tasted that water, and it was. But I didn't swallow the water. Now, am yeah. I goofy? Am I goofy for not wanting to swallow the water?
No, it's his personal choice. I have to say, both springs. Yes, the red spring is obviously it's red because of the red ochre in the water. It is very very strong iron content, and the spring on the other side of the road, which is quite fascinating, it's only 30 feet away, is white because it comes out of calcium. So it
right.
comes out of a chalk base.
But do you believe in magical powers in that water?
I, in the sense that people feel restored when they go to that place, and do I use it in my magical ceremonies? Yes, I certainly do. We frequently do pagan weddings. I think we discussed that with you when you came. But Liz and I officiate as priests and priestess at pagan weddings. They're not legal weddings, but they are, in all other respects, they are similar to a normal Christian ceremony, or indeed a normal civil ceremony. But they're just a little bit more floral, probably, and they're usually outdoors. But we use the Chalice Well water at those, for example, either for people to share, or indeed to pour a libation. Now, that's a standard thing that definitely goes back beyond Christianity,
right,
and in fact that's used in the church.
We're running out of time here. I got so many questions. Okay, let me just throw this one out of you, Trevor. What would you say? I mean, how long have you been a witch for?
10 years.
Okay, what would you
probably all my life, but if somebody told me I was 10 years ago.
Okay, what would you say to wannabe witches that are getting into it for goofy reasons, and by the way, these are the people that shop in your store, man, so don't tick them off because this is your income, baby.
Very, very quickly, most of my best customers are first year Wiccans. Now, Wicca is the religion of witchcraft, and it's a very fast growing phenomenon in North America. What I would say is that this isn't a lifestyle, it's a life choice, and it's a life path. And once you switch it on, it doesn't switch off. It's the awareness that you gain is something that you can't then actually just shut off and walk away from. And I firmly believe that, and I've seen so many people develop massively, somewhat as a result of what I've been able to point them at, and I'm proud of that. That's part of my function is to welcome newbies.
Hold on, did you say nudist?
Newbies.
Oh, newbies. Sorry, I misheard you there. Okay.
We like as well.
All right. Let's see. Where do I go here now? Do you? A lot of the Jesus people listening to Drew Marshall interview a witch have it in their head that the stuff you do may be real and it may not be real, the spells and whatever else. But if but you are playing with dangerous evil powers. You are actually. You don't know this, Trevor, but you're actually calling upon Satan to do this magical work for you, and you're playing with danger here, man. So, Trevor, what do you say about that?
That is your own personal, not your personal viewpoint, but anybody who has that viewpoint, they are entitled to that viewpoint, and I doubt that I am going to be able to persuade them otherwise. I don't believe that that is the case because I don't believe in the Christian God as such. I therefore don't believe in Satan, who is not even a Christian construct. It was not a construct from the Old Testament or indeed the New Testament, so therefore he didn't exist. He has been invented by the Catholic Church as a method of control. That is what I believe.
Okay.
I respect anybody who believes that that is a real entity, and I don't regard myself as a Satanist.
Right.
Because I don't believe in your God, therefore I can't believe in your anti-God.
Right. Okay. What do you, Trevor? What does Trevor Jones, the co-owner of Britain's most famous witchcraft shop, what do you think about Jesus? Like, are you like a member of the Doobie Brothers? Jesus is just all right.
I think he was a wonderful prophet. I think the time was right for somebody to express some kind of rebellion against the Roman control, and I think he was a focus for that. The writings that have been attributed to his sayings, I think the basis of those are a very wonderful mode of carrying out your own life. I really genuinely believe that. I will not discuss on air what I think about what current day fundamentalists are doing with that.
Right, right. Yes, bollocks. Would that be a word? No, that's a bad word. Sorry.
Sir, I am deferring to you because this is a Christian show.
You're a better man than I am. All right, well, listen, we've got to have you on again. You know, you and I could just... I so appreciate the way you eloquently and clearly express your thoughts and understanding. I mean, you're a study of history. Do you not have some kind of fancy degree? I know your woman. Oh, she'll kill me if she ever hears me say that.
Oh, yeah, she will.
Yeah. Your woman has a doctor. She's a doctor or something or other, but what are you?
Liz has a doctorate in philosophy of science. So she is the one to answer the Richard Dawkins questions. My own degree and my attempt at a master's degree is in history, and I'm extremely interested in the development of religions.
Yeah,
both pre-Christian and Christian, and then post-Christian, because we are now, it's certainly in Britain, one can regard this as now a secular society. Certainly much more so than North America.
And I'm
not speaking for Canada particularly there. I am speaking for that lovely country south of your border.
whatever.
The principles are pretty much the same. We are still nominally a Christian country. But in fact, it is a secular country, increasingly secular, and of course, it's now increasingly Muslim as well. So we have to be multicultural, multi-faith, and that is something that I very firmly believe in, as we discussed when we were here.
Yeah.
And it is something that I'm being pushed to do. So, that is to join in with government think tanks and that kind of thing.
All right. Up next is a guy named Ivan Macbeth. Do you know Ivan Macbeth?
We have corresponded, but I don't know him well.
Okay, he is a druid in the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids. He is a shamanic. I like that word, shamanic. I'm just kidding. It's not really how you say it. He's a healer and a Reiki master. And anyway, look, he's a druid, so he's going to be up next. Trevor, if I was to finish this interview by saying, by asking all of the Jesus people out there to pray for you, as I once did to a Jehovah's Witness person who came to visit me in my church office in Australia when I used to be a pastor, what would you? How would you respond to that? If I said, all right, all you Jesus people out there, you want to pray for my buddy Trevor, how would you react to that? How would that make you feel?
Right. I'll rewind there. 7 years ago, I had throat cancer. Okay? I'm all right because I'm still talking to you today, although the voice does get a bit dry. 7 years ago, I had an entire Kentucky Tabernacle Choir praying for me on the same weekend as the massed synagogues of New York. This is just friends. I will pray for you. You will pray for me. That's just human to human.
Yeah. Well,
and bless you and thank you. If you want to pray for me, I need all the help I can get. Thank you, buds.
Yes, you do actually. You need a lot of help. Trevor, just let me close this by saying this. Trevor went into the this underground kind of cave, sort of semi-building thing where the white spring comes out of the tor underneath the ground where the red spring comes as well, and they separate some weird kind of way. And this water trickles out and fills up into like a baptismal tank where they do a lot of pagan baptisms. And he locked himself, he had himself locked in there for how long?
About 4 hours.
Okay.
About 4 hours in the darkness, which was a meditational part of the recovery process for the cancer.
And had a vision. There were all sorts of other things we could talk about, but bottom line is, through his pagan practices, and who knows, maybe all these Jews and Jesus people praying for you as well. The bottom line is my mate Trevor doesn't have the throat cancer anymore, and that's all I care about.
No, I do not. And I have to say, after 5 years, I went back to for a checkup. They check you up every 6 months. I went back for a checkup, and they said, right, we now regard you as statistically cured. I like that word, and I thank everybody who did pray for me at that time.
Trevor, thank you very, very much, mate. I actually wished you lived a lot closer. I think we'd have a lot of good hangout times.
I dare say we would. You give my regards to Ivan, who is in the same druid order as I am. So, you know, there you go.
Excellent. Excellent. Trevor Jones on the phone with us, part of our Halloween special, and we wanted to blow away the stereotypes, and I think we did. Love you, mate. Thanks, Trevor.
Yep. Goodbye, buddy.
All right, bye-bye. He's a funny guy.
Did he just call you daddy?
I don't know. It's just, I smile and nod when people say weird things.
Oh,
you've experienced that, haven't you?
Yes, you smile all the time on air with me.
A very short break, like one or two commercials at most. As soon as we get Ivan on the phone, Ivan McBeth will join us. He is a druid. Let's talk to a druid about what druids believe. Up next.
Spirit on an endless flight.
Ago, after 5 years of pastoring in Australia, Drew Marshall moved back to Canada and, with absolutely zero broadcasting experience, walked into the studios of Joy 1250 and pitched the idea of hosting a talk show that was different. Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is now listened to by over 100,000 people around southern Ontario and thousands more by Canadians coast to coast. On September 15, 2012, the Drew Marshall Show will start season 10. And as a thank you for putting up with Drew for 10 years, we've decided to cut all advertising costs by 10%. Doesn't matter which plan you're interested in. 1250 specials, 10% off. One-day advertising package, 10% off. Our summer holiday special, 10% off. Or even our 15-week advertising package is now 10% off. To sign up for one of our 10-year anniversary advertising specials, contact us today at drewmarshall.ca.